Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. We are here, the Pastors for Punch TV show, with your special host, Joy Brown. We have also joining her today, Apostle Angela Robinson. And Joy and Angela, are you both there?
Yes, I'm here on the line.
Amen. Yes,
you?
I am.
God bless you. How are you?
God bless you as well, Joy. How are you doing? I'm doing good.
That's
by the
awesome.
Grace of God.
Hi,
yes.
This is your host, Joy Brown, coming to you again on a magnificent, dynamic show that God has brought into existence. You know, the Bible says you can speak those things and be not as though they were. And if you have a desire in your heart, believe me, God knows the desire. But he said, if you delight thyself also in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But this is a desire that has came to pass. And guess what? I had nothing to do with it. It was given to me. So I'm so grateful and honored to come to you. This is Wednesday at 3 o'clock Pacific time, but wherever you are, all over the world, you can tune in to our show. All you need to do is call
6-5-7-3-8-3-19. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
He wouldn't talk.
Oh, okay. So you can put the music back on. You know, either commercial. Put a commercial on.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. We have a network of television stations around the country. And today, we are proud to announce that we have just launched our newest television station across all of Southern California. KILM is the new Punch TV. Check your local listings on Direct, Dish, Spectrum, Charter, Frontier, and over the air for free. From the desert to the sea, it's Punch TV. For more information on the second phase of the Punch TV Studio stock offering for only $1 per share, call 310-419-5914, 310-419-5914, or log on to PunchTVStudios.com. That's PunchTVStudios.com.
Investing in IPO carries a degree of risk. There is no guarantee that your investment will be secure. Do not invest if you cannot afford to lose your investment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Pastors for Punch show with a special host, Joy Brown, and our special guest, Apostle Angela Robinson. Apostle Angela Robinson is the founder and Christian of the board of True Kingdom Records. Apostle Robinson has developed the business and interpersonal skills necessary to lead True Kingdom Records. She has worked as an intercessory prayer leader.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Pastors for Punch with your special host, Joy in the House, and Apostle Angela Robinson. Angela is here with us today. She is a founder and the chairman of the board at True Kingdom Records. Apostle Angela Robinson has delivered the business and interpersonal skills necessary to lead True Kingdom Records. She has worked as an intercessory prayer leader. Her ministry, Angela's ministry, has also included a missionary outreach work through preaching and teaching the Word of God in Accra, Africa, and Kumasi, Africa, and Ghana, as well as outreach to the homeless, families, children, single women, single men, and seniors of her community. Apostle Angela Robinson, we'd like to welcome you today on the show, and we are just excited to hear your testimony and tell what God is doing in your life. And also, we have our host, Ms. Joy Brown. She will be here as well.
I am here.
Okay.
Boy, this must be something going on in the air. A fight. This is what you call a war fan. Must be something that we got to release on this live. Listen, since I've been doing this show, I've never had this much interference with God. He must be talking to folks, and the devil don't like it.
I totally agree with you on that.
But to God be the glory.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret, normally. I'm able to have a little cheat sheet to talk about what you're doing and talk about your life. I can't cheat today. I am totally in submission to what God has to say through you on today. And, of course, we are Punch TV Studio coming by way of our CEO, Joseph Collins. Many of you probably have heard our commercials on KJLH. They've been just flowing all over the world. We've got a TV channel, KILM, that we're doing, Channel 54 in Southern California. We have over 14 million viewers that are coming in. And I want you to know that God is doing some miraculous things in this company. And I just want you to be a part of it. As I call it out to the pastors all over the United States, we want you to be interviewed on our show, just like we have Apostle Angela on today. But as we begin to go forward right now, I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Apostle Angela Robinson, for coming on. I know her as a woman of God. We fellowship together, the City of Refuge, where our pastor is, Bishop Noel Jones. And other than that, we have fellowship just in other areas of our life. But this woman today, sometimes we look at the bio actually doesn't always tell everything. It tells something, because you can't tell your whole story. But before we just allow you just to speak, and I want you to speak to the people of God, I want you to tell them your beginning of how you got started in your ministry, and then what you're doing now. But most of all, just give us a little tidbit of who you are. And thank you again for coming on the Punch TV Network for the Pastors.
Amen.
Into your hand.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy. It's a pleasure and it's an honor to be on this radio program today. And just going back from my ministry, which is Heart to Heart Ministries International Foundation, it actually started, and it just this right here is getting ready to blow your mind. It actually started on the motorcycle set. And I was out on the motorcycle set in the world, of course, and I started a social club. And the name of the social club was Heart to Heart Compton Social Club. And during the time and the process of being out there, I learned to really do ministry, feeding the homeless, dealing with battered women, doing children and kids toy drives for Christmas, giving backpacks back to the communities and, you know, on different areas that, you know, low-income areas or private areas and things like that, doing things in my yard to give back to the neighborhoods. So all of these things were going on before I converted my life over. So this was already placed in my hand. And then once I was converted over and given God my life, my total, I mean, everything that I could give up, I gave it up. And when I did this, I set my social club down. And a year later, after converting over, the Lord said, I want you to make that into a ministry now. So hearing the voice of the Lord and then converting it over to a ministry, right away within that year, I really started traveling back and forth to Africa, doing things. I adopted the children with heart problems from Heart Center and working with them, doing different things there at the hospital at that particular time, being a cardiac technician, working with the heart. So that was always something that was a part of me. So it was quite natural that Heart to Heart would come into play.
So what drove you to Africa?
Before I was converted over, I dealt with a lot of foreigners then. Okay. But I remember I was in prayer one day, and the Lord told me that he was going to be taking me to Africa. So I'm like, wow, I really, you know, I didn't know anything about the actual country, but I knew people that was from Africa.
Right.
So at that time, I had a mentor who was a prophetess, and she was mentoring me and trying to help me understand a lot of things, because once I converted over, the Lord began to move very quickly in my life, you know, seeing things that just didn't make any sense at the time. So I'm like, okay, God, why am I being able to see this? So in my prayer life, to be heavy, then I started, you know, getting to know other pastors from other countries, being introduced from people from here. And then one of my mentors actually was in Africa. So he would just pour into me. He would just tell me, okay, go into prayer, do this. So he like pushed my prayer life into a whole nother level.
Wow.
And then from there, I began to go to Africa and I started doing ministry with him there. And we were just doing, you know, working with the children at the schools to help them prepare to go to colleges. And they had the number one rate of these children, which were, I should say, young adults, because they were 16 and 17 years old. And we were preparing them to go to the next level. And what we did was we had church on Sunday there. We would have Bible study with them. We would have prayer sessions. And they oh my God, they got such a hunger and a thirst for God.
Oh my goodness.
The school level was known all over Accra and Ghana and Kumasi for the greatest school of pushing kids into what you call, they have the universities there, and then they have the regular colleges into the universities. So our kids were looked upon as, where are they coming from? Why are they so gifted? And it was based on prayer. The prayer sessions was changing and converting them.
So tell me something.
Yes.
What if you were to take some of our children today, what would be some of the first steps that you would teach them into prayer?
To going into prayer, emptying themselves, like totally giving up everything, because that's where we start. That is at the base of the ladder, like the Jacob's ladder. You start from the base and to work mm-hmm. their way up. So totally surrendering themselves. That's what I found most prevalent for me, is that surrendering myself was like I could just feel the presence of God. Well, literally where I've seen and had these visitations and had mm-hmm. things, noises, and all kind of things happen during the time of prayer, of surrendering
okay.
myself. Just hearing the wind, I mean, just all types of things. So I would say one key thing I learned, too, where a lot of people overlook is the Lord's
okay.
prayer.
Right.
And
okay.
the Lord's
so tell us
prayer
about that.
It's a prayer that opens up everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we leave it out, but it's the introduction to everything.
Right, okay.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Literally, when we say our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're literally speaking on every aspect of speaking to the Lord, because that's what Jesus told the disciples, that
mm-hmm.
when they asked for him to teach them how to pray, that was the prayer. It's like, how can I pray? It's, okay, how can I pray? If I live only for myself, how can I pray Father if I do not act like his child? How can I pray who are in heaven if I'm laying up no treasures there? How can I pray
mm-hmm.
hallowed be thy name if I don't care about being holy myself? How can I pray the kingdom come if I live for the kingdom, if I don't live for the kingdom, the power, if I only live, let me go
mm-hmm.
back, if I only live for the kingdom, the power, and the wealth, but not for the kingdom of God?
Okay.
How can I pray thy will be done if I'm disobedient to the word, if I disobey the word?
Okay.
How can I pray?
So do you think
you can go on and on.
So are you saying that all we're doing, and I said we, because I'm going to include everybody, we're just repeating something but not really getting into the meat of what the prayer is, because we've been taught that prayer, but we really haven't surrendered to what the words are really saying?
That's what it is. That you're totally right, because there is meat to each part of what this prayer is saying. And, you know, what I found very ironic was that if Jesus told the disciples to do this prayer,
mm-hmm.
how do we not take it into our bosom? How do we not carry out this prayer? How do we think we've come above this prayer? Why do we look at this prayer as to be so small and so little
mm-hmm.
when it's so much to it?
Right.
There's a lot of meat, you know, in each one of these prayers.
So is this the prayer that you were teaching the children in Africa initially?
This is where I started, at the base.
Okay.
And when I did the base, I
mm-hmm.
would say, then target intercession, where you
mm-hmm.
begin to just allow God to just speak through you. But I would always open the door with the Lord's prayer. That was like to get them to understand prayer, because a lot of them were Muslim. And I'm going to tell you, woman of God, I've seen so many lives converted over from being Muslim to being Christian to the point where their mothers and their fathers disowned them. They had
my
nowhere
God.
To live. So we would shelter them there to
mm-hmm.
give them a place to live, because their mothers and fathers kicked them out for taking Jesus as being the Lord and Savior of their lives.
That's because they disowned what they were taught and accepted Christ as his Savior.
Yes.
So they're cut off from their family and their lineages because
of
what they have.
A lot
mm-hmm.
of counseling, a lot of mentoring we had to do to help them understand that sometime when people don't understand the same God you serve, and we just keep continuing praying for your mothers and your fathers, we had to keep uplifting them to let them know that they made the right decision. Because, you know, to hear that in your mother and your father, like, I don't want anything to do with you, sometimes it's confusing for a young adult to know that they made the right decision.
Exactly.
So we had to convince them through the Holy Ghost that you're making the right decision. But a lot of times it don't look right because of the opposition that has come up against you. But we have to remember that what happened to Jesus. So we have to take them through those channels. But when I tell you, once they got it, their worship life, their prayer life was so heavy, woman of God, to it would bring, I'm talking about healing. People would just stand up and be healed. It didn't take nobody to go lay hands on them or to speak healing into their lives. They were coming, standing up, and they could feel the fire hitting their bodies, and they would have testimonies after testimonies of how they were healed. I mean, I've seen dead bodies from being in class just being dehydrated or have a heart attack or something right in the classroom, and the person would take the body and throw them into where we were having service at.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's heavy. And
now,
literally,
you said that, but you said your background is in medical, right?
Yes. So I
so
knew.
So you understood. Oh, you knew. Wow. Oh, my
Jesus,
God.
By the coveration of this patient, this person, you got me saying patient now because I'm going back hospital on you. But I knew by the coloration of this person that they were
Oh, my goodness. Oh, seriously.
And I said,
oh,
my God.
Goodness.
And the bishop and the other pastors in there, we would come together, and they would say, come on, this person got to live. And when I'm telling you, when we came together in prayer and we bombarded, oh, my God, I've seen them throw up, come up from being totally dead to alive again, that the Lord put breath back into their lives.
So
and
let me make
one
distinction. Are you talking about resuscitate? CPR, is that what y'all did?
None of that was taking place. But now when I was in the hospital, this is what I seen. CPR, I seen them shock a patient. I seen them do all of that because I work with the heart. So I was always the third person at the bedside of every death. So I dealt with death a lot, even in my career field.
Okay.
So when I used to see the patients in Africa, well, the young people in Africa get thrown into the room, because they were so, they don't have hospitals that they could just go to like that. So they have to believe whoever the pastor, the bishop, the apostles, whoever's in there that is speaking about the goodness of Jesus, they can heal this person. See, that's how much faith they had, that this person is going to be healed. The minute I throw them in there, dead or whatever, they're going to be healed. And those people, those young people were healed. And they gave their testimonies. They had proof. Oh, my God. I'm talking about sicknesses that people had for years that transpired in their lives. And just watch them be healed. I'm seeing big boils of cancer on their neck, on their legs, different parts of their bodies be restored right before my very own eyes. So you got to realize, well, I'm seeing all this in Africa, and then I get back to the States. It's like, God, what's happening here?
How does that?
I'm not seeing this happen at the level that I see it there.
Okay.
So I had a hunger, and I prayed. I'm talking about earnestly, God, I want my people healed here, because if it can happen in Africa, I know that it can happen here. So I had a service. I gave a service called Walk in Love, Mind, Body, Soul, and Spirit at West Angeles Crystal Room.
Okay.
And when I tell you two women were healed there, I had witnesses in that whole service. Two people came in that service, but I was in prayer before the service. And the Lord said, two people is going to get healed in your service. And I said, my God, I said, Lord, show me their sickness. So one was deaf in her right ear. The other one
had an injury to the left part of her leg where she was walking with a cane and could not barely move. She couldn't bend or do anything. Mm-hmm. So in the service, I spoke those two things out. Just to make a long story short, because it, the way I got the mic was even strange. The speaker went up late. He walked all the way to the back. He said, "The Lord told me to hand you the mic." I said, "No, go ahead, because you don't have that much time left." He said, "No, I got to be obedient to God." He said, "Hand you the mic." The moment I put my hand on that mic, listen to me, woman of God, I began to walk with the mic. And the Lord said, "Did you forget about the two people I told you was going to be healed here tonight?" And it hit my spirit. And I began to challenge that. I called it out. The first time I said it, I said, "There's two people tonight that's going to be healed." And I gave, you know, I said what was going on with them. Nobody moved at that first. The Lord said, "Don't you give up." He said, call it out with authority. And when I said, "One thing I know about God is he is a man that cannot lie. He cannot deny himself, and he cannot tempt me." I said, "You two are here tonight, and you need to come forth for your healing." They came forth. And when I say when they came forth, they were screaming and hollering. They said the moment I spoke it like that, the fire hit them. And one was on the ground before she, as soon as she got to the front, she just went down to the ground.
Okay.
And she said, "I could hear, I could hear." She kept saying she could hear. And the other one, she said, "I don't know if you recognize." She said, "I need to give a testimony." She took the mic from me. She said, "I walked in here with a cane." She said, "Now look at me." She said, "I don't even need that. That could stay here. I don't even need to take that with me when I leave here." And she was, I said, "Tell me what you can do that you couldn't do when you came in." I mean, she bent. She was turning around. She was doing all of that.
Wow.
And that's when I knew that it is not that it can't happen here. It's that you got to get in a place for it to happen.
You had to get in the place where we're at?
For it to happen here. See, we have to have that hunger and that thirst.
The atmosphere conduces miracle.
In believing that God will, because nothing is too, what does the scripture say in Ephesians 3:20? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or even of, according to the power that works within us. We have to believe. We had generals here that operated in it. They come from Los Angeles, and then they traveled all over the place with healing. We got to bring it back. It needs to come back. Our people need to be healed from sicknesses and diseases.
Yes,
that
that's
is causing
true.
Them to be not being able to be used in their ministries. We have people that we have bishops and leaders that are suffering from different sicknesses, and we got to come together and we got to pray for our leaders. And different people in ministry that go out and travel and do what they do. We got to come together in unity, because it's like the oil that run down Aaron's beard onto his garment, right? And we can command the blessing.
That's true.
So we command blessings over these people. We
command
these
the blessings.
And then they take place. Then they transpire. We command it. In the name of Jesus, we command that. And we'll watch the manifestation. We'll watch the miracles and the signs and wonders. He said, "Greater works shall you do." And we have to believe that. See, I've seen it firsthand of my ministry. And when I started going to speak and talk about the things that God had allowed me to see, I would meet bishops and other apostles and other people in ministry and leadership would say, "You know, I've been in ministry for 25 years, and I haven't experienced that yet."
Now, why do you think they have not experienced it? What is that blockage that's keeping those from seeing what God can do?
And that was the very question that I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, why is it that you allowed me to come in such a short time and just walk right into that?" And it was, I gave up everything when I came in. I came, you know how some people can be eating?
Yes.
And I'm going to use an example here that the Holy Ghost has given me. So if I got a plate full of food, right, but there's a particular thing that I like on that plate, I don't care about eating none of the rest of the stuff. But that one particular thing on the plate, it's like, nah, because I'm going to scrape that off, and I'm going to give the plate to her. Now, I'm sharing, but there is, but there's something on that plate that I don't feel I can give up yet.
Right.
So I give you that, but I'm still holding on to this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have.
So we
you talking about with us walking in,
we gotta get
in allegiance to God and surrendering things that could be hindering us from getting to the level that he's taking us.
Yes, that's exactly
okay,
it.
Okay, got you.
And I, even from, I'm going to share this
my
with you.
God.
I was at work last year. I've been working for the county almost 18 years as a cardiac technician in the emergency room.
Wow.
I have been praying for patients. I have watched patients be restored and their sight,
mm-hmm.
all kind of things, coming back to the job with testimonies. I've gotten awards at Harvard UCLA Medical Center for my prayer life. I was working with the James Timadero, who is the director over the chaplain. I would give up my lunch break, hear me,
okay.
to pray for people coming into the hospital. I didn't
right.
eat my lunch. I would take my whole 1 hour lunch break and pray for people coming into the
you
hospital.
You said you're going
later.
To the chapel, right?
Yeah, the chapel right there at Harvard. So
I
the relationship that I gained with the director over the chaplain, he was just amazed. He's like, I've never seen anybody that would do this.
Mm-mm.
So he allowed me to do it because it was up to him to allow me to do it because I had to write a letter. So
okay.
I wrote the letter. And I let them know what I wanted to do, and it was dropped in my spirit because I would go and sit in the chapel and just pray anyway on my lunch break. I would
right.
eat, and then I would go finish the last 30 minutes in there. But then the Lord dropped it in my spirit. I want you to come in, and I want you to pray for other people. So I did that. I did that season, and I built a relationship with him, and even he started inviting me to Africa. So that was an open door because he's African. He's from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm saying even in the hospital, just in the emergency room, I was
wow.
praying for the nurses,
man.
Doctors, different people, but be healed, not only just in their body, but in their minds and in their hearts. There would be, a restoring in them because they couldn't believe how somebody could speak into their lives like that. You know,
wow.
where do you come from? Who are you? So just to speak that to help them. Because that's always been me. I just wanted to help people and just make sure people was all right. Make sure that
right.
they, you know, even ones with suicidal thoughts that want
wow.
to kill themselves and
exactly.
all of that, I would really cry out for them. But make a long story short, I was at work in July of last year, at the beginning of July, and I work by pager, so I get paged to whatever area in the emergency room that they need me at. And I happen
okay.
to have some downtime, and I was talking to the clerk. A man walks up, I mean, dressed up, suit, everything, clean face, all that. He's asking about a patient, but he doesn't have the name. So the clerk's looking
right.
at me. I'm looking at her. He says, well, somebody retired such and such and such time. And we said, yeah, she did. And he looked at me. He said, but you're leaving, too.
Oh, wow, that was a guy
looking
said.
At him, I say, okay, yes, you're either, you know, I'm like either prophet or, you know, you're, you know. So I'm saying
right, exactly.
Him, he, says, oh. he just smiles and he said, but yeah, you're leaving. He said, you're getting ready to retire. And I said, I don't know.
Were you
retire
preparing
today.
To retire?
You know, I'm still in. He said,
had you thought
no,
about it?
Leaving. It had been in my spirit that the Lord was saying
yes.
he was going to remove me from my job, my labor there. But I knew that there were some businesses and things that I was trying to open up at that time. So I
right,
figured
okay.
once that got established,
exactly.
that's when God would move me. But he said, no, that's
oh
not
my
I,
God.
That's the world way. He said, no, the way I'm going to do it is you're going to have to totally depend upon me. When,
oh
I say, when I say, woman of God, when I retired July 22nd at Harvard UCLA Medical Center, I did not have any more money left. Somehow.
Are you serious?
I don't know where my money went. I bought stuff, sure enough. I had a BMW truck. I had nice things. Always had nice things. Even before getting saved, I liked nice things. So to go through that transition of not having nothing, then I went to Jamaica for 3 months. One of the pastors, he said, come to Jamaica. I'll take
oh,
care
goodness.
Of you. I want you to open up a daycare with me here in Jamaica. When I got to Jamaica, I could not even get anything established but prayer. He sent me there to pray. He had to push me back into the level of prayer that I had already been doing because he was getting ready to prepare me for my next dimension, you see. So when that happens, there's a level of prayer that you need to be consecrated into. My fasting, I was fasting and praying in Jamaica. I said, Lord, what is going on? You know, we're supposed to be opening up a business, Lord. You know, I don't retire from my job. That means no more income, Lord, for me. That means
so
I have
how did you
nothing.
Go to Jamaica if you come off your job
I
with no money?
My flight.
Oh, okay.
I already had my flight to visit.
Oh, you had already
this
purchased
Lord,
it, but you didn't know you were going to retire that early. Oh, God, this
no,
is good.
I had my flight to visit. But look how good God is.
Oh, my
he
goodness.
Told me to do one way. I tell you, God is something else. I tell you, he ain't no joke. She told me to do one way, right? I did
one way.
And I'm like, so she said, I got you on the way back because we don't know
oh,
how many days
Jesus.
She's going to stay.
Oh,
but
my
I knew
Lord.
It was gonna be over. You, girl, you don't hear me. I knew it was going to be over my vacation time, right? Because I do get vacation.
Yes.
My vacation was 4 weeks. So
oh,
I said, okay,
Lordy.
Well, okay. So she was like, you might have to be here. So. When the situation came, when the man said I was going to retire, and, oh, but I left out a piece, but I got to give you this because this is a clue. This is a clue right here.
Yeah.
When he turned around to answer his phone, he said, He turned back to him. He said, that's okay. They said that the patient had already been prayed for. So we looked at each other like, okay, the patient's been prayed for, but what they got to do with you? And much prayer is needed. So while me and the clerk is looking at each other, we turned him around. He was totally gone. He disappeared.
What was that, an angel?
At that moment, the Lord said, be careful how you entertain people because you never know when you're entertaining an angel.
Yeah, my God.
I said, that was an angel. Sent to oh, push me
cute.
Out the door. And he said, Angela, go ahead.
Listen, hold that thought, because we're going to take a commercial, but I want you guys, you're getting all excited, and I am too.
Yeah,
and I know
good.
There's
when
more
talk,
to come.
Lord, it's in me to get excited. I love
okay.
him so much, I'm telling you.
Well, we're going to just take us two commercials, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to complete this conversation. Thank you.
Amen.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you Nabuki? Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
We are back with the Pastors for Punch with our special host, Joy Brown, and also our special guest, Joy Robinson.
Yes, amen.
Miss Joy, are you there? Okay, so it looks like we're having some technical difficulties, Apostle. So
okay.
I know you can go ahead and continue your conversation. I know before we
okay.
left, you were talking.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you can go ahead and continue your thought because I know you were getting excited.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Whenever I talk about the Lord, it's like fire just hits my bones, you know. So, but Joy. We were talking about when the angel disappeared, but from the walkway of the hospital, how I know without a shadow of a doubt that that was an angel. There's no way you can disappear within that perimeters, because the walk to go through the double doors was too long, and the walk to go into the main hospital was too long. So in between that time, for me looking at her just to say two words, he couldn't have disappeared.
Right. Okay.
So when I came home that night and I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to do what you're telling me to do. I don't want to leave a job that I have depended on most of my life. And he said, that's it right there, Angela. Hear what you just said. He said, you have depended on that job.
Wow.
More than me. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to go.
Mm-mm-mm.
And when I say I cried because I said, this decision, I start thinking about my family. What will they think? You know,
that third party, right?
What you gonna do? We can't take care of you. So it was, you know, it was a decision that had to be made between me and God. And I had to, then I had to push him to the point of saying, okay, God, if you've taken me off this job, then you have to take care of me, because you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. So I knew once I pushed that word back to him, perform it.
Because
he says he chases his word to do what? To perform it.
That
word, I had to give it back. I had to know some words to give it back to him so that it could be performed.
Okay, say that again. You had to do what?
I had to give him some words, and I had to know some words to give it back to him.
Exactly,
him to
right.
I could have laid there and cried and not known nothing what to say to him. So we have to know what to say to God for him to move in our lives. And this is how you see the manifestation. This is how you see things change and move in your life.
We understand
that you can cry out and God will hear your cry, but we know that you got to tell him something that he has written.
Okay. That's good. That's very good.
He said he honor his word and exalt his word more than his own name. So I know
how important
his word is to him. I know what it is to him. I know what it is to follow what he say and to believe it with everything in me. See, I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I said, if I could just touch it, I know I'll be made whole. I believe. So he had to perform that.
Yes.
And now, by the grace of God, he has opened some avenues, some doors for me to do my own business, to do some things that I needed to do for
That's
the
wonderful.
Kingdom. Because there's a lot of things that I am setting up for the kingdom. I'm going to Africa in October, and I'm going to be sitting down with the governor there and the president about putting a three-dimensional hospital there.
You see, my goodness.
These are the things that God is giving. These are the excitement, the assignments that God is giving.
That's wonderful.
And it's based on, he told me, you didn't work at this hospital because I was showing you some. I was teaching you. I was training you along the way for
I
my
know.
Kingdom. So I'm excited, woman of God. I am
That's
so excited
favorite.
What God is
That's
getting ready
favorite.
To do. Even for Africa, even for Jamaica, even for Mexico. You know, there's been some places that God has given me, and he said, you're going to put these dimensional hospitals there. And I mean, they're going to be there, and people are going to be healed, not only by medicine, but by prayer.
Right.
You know, I think about John G. Lake. He built the healing room. He had one, they say, in Seattle, Washington. And the one in Seattle, Washington, they say hundreds and thousands of people were healed there. And even the whole state of Seattle, Washington had a level of people being well and health more than any place in the world because of him, that God used him as a excited about what God is getting ready to use me to do.
Yes.
I'm so excited because I know I'm doing it for him for his glory, for his purpose, for his will. I am a pusher. I push people back into their prayer lives, and I push for people ministries to be restored
or to elevate.
Some people are moving, but very slowly in their ministries, and they desire to take it up to another notch. So,
right.
In order for me to help push you, I got to get right. You see,
right,
I mean, I can't
right.
push you into
something
good if
yeah.
I'm into something
right.
that ain't even reached that level yet.
Right.
So I'm
That's
telling
good.
You, I spend a lot of time in prayer. I spend a lot of time doing what I need to do to consecrate with God.
That's
you know,
wonderful.
My fasting life, I had to take that in as a lifestyle. I couldn't
That's
look at
right.
it, oh, I'm just going to fast this year because this year I'm going to something so much heavier. No, no, no. No, no, no. I have to, when it embarks upon me, it's time. I got to go in, and I got to know how to do it. There's some things I had to pull my children out of, and I had to go, and I had to push
right,
my plate
exactly.
off the table.
Because
mm-hmm. I knew that that was not a natural fight, but it was in the spirit.
Right.
So we have to understand we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers
That's
of
true.
Evil and darkness. So we have to get that. We have to understand that that is what the attack is on the body of Christ and all of this separation
right.
now for discord.
That's right.
You know,
That's it.
We,
That's it right
know,
there, division. That's division.
Yes, and these competition spirits. We
mm-hmm.
have a lot of things that's coming against the body of Christ now.
Right.
And I see it. And I'm like, we need unity back. We need to start doing prayer walks in the middle of the street and decreeing and declaring.
Right. Well, tell me something, since you're talking about competition, because you're in the music entertainment field also, aren't you?
Yes, yes. That's one area that God has pushed me into. Yes, indeed.
Well, tell us something about that, because I know now I don't have I used to sing in a choir with my siblings and with a small church, but nothing major. So when it comes to competition and the gifts and the talents of many people that have those gifts, and now that you're in that sector of that lifestyle entertainment, how do you walk in that vein, and how do you pull out those that are called and are anointed to come above the arrogancy?
That is such an awesome question, and you know, and I'm going to answer that the best that I can, that I know in my experience of dealing with different artists.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an amount of humbleness, humility
mm-hmm.
that you have to have as an artist in order to not become arrogant in those ways. And by me working with and dealing and just communicating with different artists, being in certain
right.
places where artists was, most of the ones, I would say, were so very humble, even though
mm-hmm.
they were recognized for doing so much.
Right.
But they had that true humility in them. I don't know if everything was wrapped all together with other things they were doing, but
mm-hmm.
that part was definitely there.
That's true.
And me having conversations with different ones
mm-hmm.
and just sitting at the table and just collaborating back and forth. Okay, what can I do to make my record label, you know,
right.
get to the point of where I want it to be? Just to hear
mm-hmm.
what they say concerning that, the humility that they gave me. They said, one thing you need to remember, woman of God, always remain humble.
Always remain
servant.
Humble, okay.
Always be a servant.
Right.
Even though you are CEO, you're the founder, but
right.
remain being a servant. And make sure that your prayer life, your
mm-hmm.
worship, learn
right.
to worship God with all. And I said, you know what? That tells me a lot about you. When those
exactly.
words come out of their mouth, you know, whatever's in your heart, it says what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. It tells me
mm-hmm.
who you are. And when you speak that, because some of them get a little lost along the way,
yeah.
and they have to, God have to wheel them on back. Now, I've
you
seen
know,
them, too.
Exactly. So what do you do, how do you walk, or what do you do to prepare yourself to come in the midst of cutthroats?
And that's where
because,
your discerning has to come in. That's when
okay.
You have to pray for the wisdom and the discerning, a greater discerning, more wisdom, Lord, concerning this record label, the people that I'm dealing with, the people that you've given me to deal with. Because I've been burnt. Now, when I first started my record label, I was moving through it. I was meeting all types of gospel artists. I was working with one of the persons here who were doing all of the concerts, who was connected to all of the gospel artists. And I had one artist I was working with myself and got her three songs out and disappeared. I mean, literally just said, I don't want to be a part of the record label. But after the pouring, because I am a birther, and I could have birthed her into her music by the gift that God's given me to do.
Right.
But see, the enemy, when you don't stay in connected with God, see, the enemy will come in and cause you to shift. And see, what I've noticed is because of the kind of heart I got, I you know, that heart to heart is just really in me.
Right, that's what the name of the ministry is, yeah.
And just helping people has always been my motive. But I've noticed that a lot of people that I have helped, along the way they get, somehow people will say something or cause them to shift, and then they'll look back after I've moved forward and went on and did something else. They're like, I should have, what made me leave? I know this was the opportunity. And they miss it. But that's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Wow.
So he causes them to miss the purpose. Because when I'm coming in here, I'm coming in here all the way. I'm coming in here all, I'm coming holy. I'm coming giving everything up. So my walk with God is heavy.
But woman of God, you said gospel artists. Gospel meaning it's not circular. So do you still have the same challenges as if you were in the world?
My God, and I'm so serious when I say that. Yes. And the
isn't there supposed to be a distinction?
It's supposed to be. You're absolutely right. And that's what I want true kingdom to do. I want it to come in and transform people into the right way of being a gospel artist.
Right.
I want you to come in with the heart of God and not come in for the fame of people.
Okay. So if someone wanted to come to you that has they think they got a gift. I mean, God has really given them an anointing and stuff. How would they come? What would they do? What? How do they get in contact with you?
I have a website. I usually give them my I have a card. I have business cards and I have my number. They can call me and contact me. I will directly speak to them because I like talking to the people that I'm going to work with.
So what
number
would
that be? Some people like to have them talk to other people. Say it again.
What number would they call?
They would call 310 air code 678-9540.
And what's the name of your label?
It's True Kingdom Records International.
Got it. And is that your website also?
My website is True Kingdom. They would probably have to call me. I have to send them the link because we just get some new things to it. So we're finishing that up right now.
Okay, great.
But they would be able to see some things going on in the website.
Awesome. This has been a wonderful time talking to you, your experience. I like that about that prayer. That is your calling. We all know, but we know that your gifts come without repentance. But when you call into prayer, it breaks down everything.
Yes, it does.
It is
absolutely
something else. I'm going to say just one thing because I know we're getting ready to end this conversation and stuff, but just give us, what do you see God doing? What do you see him doing?
And that was one thing I've been in prayer for. I see him doing revival, prayer revivals here. I was driving past the Sub Hub a few months ago, maybe about 8 months ago.
Mm.
And the Lord said, I want you to do a prayer revival right here.
Mm.
And the sub hole, we know the sub hole holds up to 10, 15,000 people. You know, there's different numbers of people. And he says, start off with 5,000 feet.
Okay.
Give it here and invite the community come in for prayer. And he said,
okay.
And you're going to see my hand released in this land.
Okay. All right. So they just come in and they walk out. Do they have to stay for a service or something, or just coming in for prayer?
It will be like a service, but it'll be a service of prayer. So it'll be prayer just going forth. And
that's
calling,
good.
He says, and I want you to sound the alarm from other places and bring them out.
That's
so that
awesome.
Is one of the visions that God has given me for here for California is to do a prayer, a stadium prayer revival.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you are needing volunteers, can they get in touch with you since you're planning that?
Yes, absolutely. I would love for volunteers to get in contact with me because that's what we need. That's what that's, you know, he says, then that's when he heals the land. It says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then where they hear from heaven, then will I forgive them of their sins, and then will I heal the land. So we know in Chronicles what God is talking about.
Yes.
We got to get back to prayer.
That's true.
We got to get back to prayer.
Well, give us that number again.
It's 310-678-9540. 678-9540.
Awesome. You have been listening to today's program, The Pastors for Punch TV Studio, your host, Joy Brown. And our featured guest today was Apostle Angela Robinson. And God has really been on this time with us. I hope you have enjoyed her as much as I have. And not just enjoy, but enjoy the spirit that she has placed in the airways to wherever you are. And I hope that whatever life that you are extending onto God, that you totally surrender. Because it seemed like that was the topic that she was really trying to drive into us when it comes to prayer. You have to really surrender everything into the Father's hand, and he will take care of you. Until next time, we thank you for joining the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. On behalf of our CEO, Joseph Collins, you have a blessed day.
Amen.
Oh!